Go to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to continue where I have been going in the past few weeks when I get a chance to teach, and that's on hidden treasures. God has so many hidden treasures in His Word that you'll never get them all out before you get home. But we're going to try. We're going to go after a few of them. Praise the Lord. Let's open with prayer. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word. It is our life. That's what we look forward to, is that which You give us by Your Spirit, that we can swallow it spiritually, that we can grow and mature and be who You've called us to be as individuals and as a corporate body. So have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen My face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both to the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. That's where I take my message, or the heading of it is hidden treasures. Now, I want to read verse 2 before we get into the specifics area. I want to read verse 2 backwards. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. There's a ring up here, Aaron. Now, that knowledge, He wants us, you go back a word, it means He wants you to have the understanding of that knowledge. In other words, don't just know the Word of God, know how to use it. And He wants the full assurance, the riches of the full assurance of the understanding of the knowledge of God. See, sometimes you read Paul backwards and you find out what he's emphasizing. And here he's emphasizing that full assurance of knowing and understanding and doing the Word of God. Then before that, he says that you be knit together in love and be encouraged. How many know it takes love to encourage one another? You can encourage somebody, but if they don't know that you love them, they're just going to let it go right over their head. It don't mean a hill of beans. See, they've got to know that. You know, there's times, and I think we all have these days, when you go home and you're just wore out and the world's on your shoulders and you haven't been able to let go, and you walk in the house, and some people can't handle that. When I walk in my home, my wife looks at me and she sees that, she just walks up and hugs me and doesn't say a word. That encourages me, strengthens me, and I'm able to just relax and let it go. Praise God. She don't ask me about the day. She don't ask me what happened. She don't say a thing. She just loves me because she knows me. And I know her, and she would never, ever, ever say or do anything to hurt me in any way, shape, or form. She just ain't built that way. With words or anything else, she's just not capable of doing that. I've learned to totally trust that, and I can just relax. She may or may not ask me about it. I may or may not tell her about it. But I have been encouraged by her love for me. I use that as an illustration that we, as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we need one another to understand and love each other unconditionally and be able to hug and love one another. And don't ask any questions. Don't tell them anything. Just encourage one another. If you've got to say something that will encourage and bless them and strengthen them. Get them to point their eyes on Jesus. Their flesh is in control. How many have ever had your flesh in control? And it just kind of took you where it wanted to go? Well, some days are like that. So what? Somebody can just love you and it can just fade away. And that's what Paul's talking about here. That you encourage one another through the love of God. God has never done anything but to encourage you through His love.
That's right.
Where would you be without God's love? That love is what sustains us spiritually. See, how many realize that when you tap into God, you're tapping into love? There ain't no more love and bigger and better than what God's got for you. And when you tap into that, for some reason, your problems get smaller. They don't have the power in them that they used to have. And I think everybody in here has experienced that. You come in here with a heavy heart, something's going on, you don't know how to handle it, and the Holy Spirit begins to move through the songs and the blessings of the Lord and the Word of God, and you just begin to relax. And by the time you go out that door, you're not the same person you were when you came in. You were encouraged. You were loved. You were blessed. And that's what God wants to do in all of us all the time. You mean that's the way we're supposed to live? Well, I think that's what I see in the Word of God. How many know that they were human beings back there in Paul's time, just like they're human beings today? They had the same problems then we got now. Oh, they didn't have the same cars. They had chariots. They had horses. They had their feet to walk on. Your feet get tired. Your body gets tired. Everything, you just have to deal with what you got. They had to deal with what you got. So here's Paul telling them spiritually, hey, love one another, encourage one another, be strong to one another. Hallelujah. How many know that is a hidden treasure? Which is, means that's a choice whether you want to give it or not. How many some days you feel loving and some days you don't? This is going to hurt, but it's when you're unloving and can't stand yourself is when you need to reach down inside the wells of salvation and pull out of the wells of salvation the love of God and His presence and His love and start pouring it on somebody, and pretty soon you'll be totally different. You'll be changed. How many know in the Old Testament He said, reach down in the wells of salvation and pull out of them. That's what we're supposed to do. He was talking about our day and period. He wasn't talking about the Old Testament there. He was prophesying about our day when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We get saved and born again. You now have a well of salvation inside of you that needs to be drawn out of and given. How many know if you leave water in a well, it gets stale?
That's right.
You got to use it. You got to get that water moving. Oh, my. Some of us are, oh my, some of us are awful stale. I had to say it. I'm sorry. Just had to say it. Because if you're not talking about the Lord, you're not walking with God, you're not doing what God has you to do, then you're getting stale. How many want to eat 2 weeks old bread? I don't. Don't like the smell of it. I don't like the taste of it. Especially when it gets that little green stuff on there. I want fresh bread. And Jesus has it for me every day. He is the bread of life. Hallelujah. He is not stale. There ain't no mold in Him.
That's right.
Oh, praise God. Then He says, attaining to all the riches. In other words, you didn't get it all when you got born again. God has more for you today than you got yesterday. Amen. He has something new, something alive, something better. Well, if you don't understand that in the spiritual, then let's go over into the natural. How many of you are going to eat enough today to last till next Sunday? Physically. Talking about physically here. Well, then what makes you think you can do it spiritually? Oh, man. Well, it's true. I want to be happy. I want to enjoy life. I want to be what God's called me to be. I can't go to church once a week and do that. I go to church every day because I get in the Word of God and I pray and I spend time with Him every day. And I'm walking with the Lord on a daily basis.
That's right. Man, it's good. Man.
And I don't depend on anybody else to fix my spiritual food. If I can get it from somebody else, praise God, I'll enjoy it. But I don't depend on that for my daily walk. I depend on my spirit getting into His spirit and going after it. He said He wants us to attain all the riches of the full assurance. Wow. That means a full conviction and confirmation, knowing that God's word to you is absolutely trustworthy. You can trust it, you can believe it, no matter how you feel in the natural.
That's good.
Well, but I don't feel like reading the word today. Your flesh has nothing to do with it. Ask your spirit, do you need it? You don't have to ask your flesh if you're hungry in the natural. It'll tell you so.
That's right.
It's loud and clear. But because we can't feel in the natural for our spirit hunger, then we tend to... Well, how many knows the devil can keep you busy? Too busy to read the Word of God. Too busy to pray. But you ain't too busy to watch TV and read magazines and do all that kind of stuff, because your flesh enjoys that. Which one needs retraining? It ain't your flesh. It takes care of itself. It came out of the womb squalling, and it ain't quit since. Full assurance of understanding. Comprehension. The ability to understand concepts. God wants you to understand the concepts of His Word. That's His will. And He said, whatever you ask according to His will, you will receive. So it's His will that you understand and comprehend the Word of God. Where we get tripped up is we try and compare the Word of God to what we see in the natural and how the natural thinks of what's going on. You can't do that. It'll get you confused. We were talking about that in Sunday school class this morning. A lot of people get confused over the things of God's Word. You don't understand God's Word with a natural mind. You understand God's Word with your spirit. And you have to seek God's Word through your spirit. Well, how in the world do you do that? You just take the Word of God and you start feeding it in through your mind, and it'll go into your spirit automatically. I'd like to see all of us every day stuff ourselves spiritually.
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
Now we're gotten down to the word knowledge. That's where I want to spend a little time. The word knowledge, it means it expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. We're talking about epinosis. It's talking about spiritual knowledge here. It's not talking about natural knowledge. And it expresses a more thorough participation. What is participation? What do you do when you participate in something? You get involved. Yes, you do. Well, that's what this word means. Get involved with the Word of God. Get involved with God Himself. How many know that the Word comes from God? So if you get involved with God, you're going to get the Word. You get involved with the Word, you're going to get God. So no matter which one you do, you're going to get involved. You have to be a partaker. Be a participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. We are the learners. I don't think God has anything to learn, do you? I think He's all-knowing. So I'm automatically the learner. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 11. We're talking about getting the knowledge here of what Paul is trying to tell the Colossians to do. Attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery. So he has a goal of where he's going. The knowledge you get is going to be in the mystery of God. Now that word mystery in the natural kind of helps the natural mind say, well, I can't understand it anyhow. All that word means in our language today, it's spiritual truths and sacred secrets. God wants you involved in spiritual truths and sacred secrets. He wants you to have all the knowledge you ever will need to have and get there. Now in Ephesians 4:11,
It says, it was he who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Who gave that? He did. Well, what right does that give you to call yourself to that position if he's the one that puts a person there? If God does it, it'll be done. You do it, you're in trouble. You cannot call yourself to the fivefold ministry. Only God can put you there. I got to give you another scripture on that so you grasp it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. He's real blunt here. They were having problems in the Corinthian church, and especially with the gifts, and everybody was doing their thing. And notice verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as you pleased. He pleased. In other words, he knows better where you fit than you do.
Amen.
Now, you got to understand something about God. You may, when you first hear it, like I did, and he told me I was going to be a teacher, I didn't like it. I didn't want to. I don't like being in front of people. I didn't know I could teach. I had no knowledge of the abilities I had. And I fought God. It don't work. You can't do it. I'm just like a bunch of other people. I said, well, I'll try. And I tried for 2 years. Had a little bit of anointing on me. That's all he could put through me, because I was resisting him. And after 2 years, I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to be, I'll do it. The following Sunday morning in Sunday school, I got up and taught the class just like I had been for 2 years. And I didn't notice any difference. I didn't grasp nothing. A person came up to me afterwards and said, John, what in the world did you do? I said, nothing. He said, you had double the anointing on me, on you, that you had last week. What did you do? I got self out of the way is really what happened. I said, okay. See, I stopped I was restraining the Holy Spirit from moving on me the way he wanted to. I took that restraint out of the way, and I really didn't notice the difference, but everybody else did. See, when God puts you where you belong, you're going to be just like everybody else. When you first start it, it's going to be scary. You don't know how you're going to handle it. You're going to feel like you did a dumb job. But if God wants you there, there is something down inside pushing you that you can't stop. Unless you say no to Jesus, you can't stop it. It began to push inside of me. I couldn't quit. And you know, funny thing about it, after a while, I begin to feel at home and enjoy doing it. Because see, I know I am not the teacher. If the Holy Spirit doesn't speak through me and you can't feel the anointing, then get out as quick as you can. I'm not scared of that at all. If I don't know the anointing's on me, then I'm going to sit down and we'll get Dean or somebody else up here. See, you've got to have the anointing. You've got to know the anointing well enough to know when he's on you or not. See, God doesn't put you in a place that you don't want. Because when he puts you where he wants you, you're going to want it. It may take you a while to figure it out, but you'll get there. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. That means to make fully ready the saints. Are you a saint? The Holy Ghost is trying to get you ready for work. The word work there is real, real hard to understand. It's the object of employment. God has an object of employment or a job or a work for you to do. It's functioning in the body of Christ where he puts you by his anointing. Can you imagine what it would be if every person was in the exact place in the body of Christ, functioning with the anointing upon them, what this church world would change? It's what we'd like to see. But every one of us are in preparation.
for the work of ministry. I was wondering if we'd ever get to that. That means I can seek ministry anytime I want. No, it doesn't. If you seek your position in God without seeking Him first, you're never going to find it. You may have the desire to do what you want to do, but if God don't anoint you, what good are you doing? Amen. Understand something about the reward seat. The only reward that you will receive will be what the Holy Spirit has done through you. It will not be from what you did for yourself. The anointing has to do the work through you. Jesus never... Remember He said, I don't do anything but what I see and hear my Father tell me. Every miracle He did, everything He said, every word He said was from His Heavenly Father. And His own disciple says, well, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, when you look at me, you see the Father because He's so much like Him, you couldn't tell the difference. If they was both standing there in flesh, they would look identical. Because everything He did. And see, we as sons and daughters of God, now we need to emulate what He did. Find out what the Father tells you to do and say. And go do it.
Good.
And don't let Christians talk you out of it. The world ain't going to bother you. They don't know where you're at anyhow. They don't understand that you're born again. They don't understand why you do what you do. So they're not a problem to you. It's our brothers and sisters in Christ that think they know what you're supposed to do. I had a lot of people come and tell me what they thought I should do. They came and gave me prophecies. Thud. Well, that's all it meant because it didn't witness in here. I've had prophecies that, I mean, they're witnessed in here. And I'm still fulfilling some that they gave me when I was 18, 19 years old. I'm still finishing that now. But it was real. It witnessed down in my spirit and I knew it was God. But because of the hypocrisy in the Pentecostal churches that I was in, this is how I handle it. If you knew me, I wouldn't let you prophesy over me. It had to be from God. That means you couldn't know me or anything about me. That's the only thing I trusted because I seen so much. Well, back in 1951, they had what they called the Latter Rain Movement, and the spirit and the gift of prophecy was very strong. But they was prophesying over every person and telling them what God wanted them to do. Well, that's a good thing, but it don't happen. God's not that problem, much of a problem. Most of the ones that were my age never went on to serve the Lord. Because God had told him, well, I'm going to do this through you. So I can just sit back and God's going to do this through me. Well, that's just like going trying to be a doctor but never go to school. It don't work that way. See, it has to be God all the way. And I only trusted those that didn't know me because they couldn't tell me something that they didn't know. Unless the God had told them. And when He did, it always witnessed in my spirit. Always. And in my spirit was the Word of God. By the time I was 18, I had read probably the whole Bible clear through. I was into the Word. We didn't have TV. We didn't have nothing out there. And when the farm work got done and it got dark, there wasn't nothing else to do. I'd sit and read the Word of God. My flesh didn't want to do it then. It still don't want to do it today. It don't matter what my flesh wants to do. It's going to do what I tell it. God is preparing the ministry through you, every one of us. The word ministry here means a deacon, a servant. It means to minister and serve. So if you got your eyes on a position so you can get up in front of people and preach, and that's what you want to do, forget it. If you want to be seen, then you don't have the ministry that God wants you to have. Because there's no pride in the Holy Ghost. None. So if he puts you in front of people, it's because he wants to work through you to help people. And people will pat you on the back, and you've got to learn how to handle that, because that's part of spiritual growth. I was saying in the rest homes, and the anointing was on me to sing at that time, and on the pastor that I was working with, and we would go into a room that they allowed us in, and we would sing some songs, and I would sing a special, and then he would preach. And so I would walk around the whole rest home area, and he could be heard in every room. There was no loudspeaker. We didn't use nothing. We just did what God said. And he would walk around while I was preaching or singing, and you could hear it in every room. Why? The anointing was taking it. And that's what works, is the anointing. Say, how many know that God knows what you can do and what you can't do? He knows it before you know it. Now, well, how do I find my place in God? And I hadn't planned on going here, but anyhow, how do I find my place in God? You try to help people. It's that simple. Find a need, meet it. If the anointing's on you to do it, keep doing it. If he says, that's not where you go, and you'll know inside whether that's where to go or not, just, okay, I tried that, but that ain't working, so I'm going to look for something else to do. I was starting rest home services in Colville, Washington, before I was 20 years old. Why? Because I wanted to see people's needs met. You don't go in a rest home to be seen. You go there because something inside you is driving you. And my brother and I could sing so well together that one pastor, he put us on the radio with him. We'd have his opening song. So I had an anointing on me for that, but that wasn't where God was telling me to finally go. It's where I'm at today. And I know where I belong. And I'm in it. I got a peace in my spirit that passes all understanding that I enjoy what I do. That doesn't mean my flesh likes getting up here and talking to you people. It don't. You know, people come to me and say, well, I'm scared. I'm afraid to go in front of you. But good. That's good if you are. Because if you think you can handle it, now you got a problem. See, if I didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt the anointing would be upon me when I get up here, I wouldn't come up here. But I know the anointing now. And I love it. But it's because he put me where I belong, not because I did. But he's equipping the saints for the work of serving. Get rid of that word ministry. Put the word serving there. That is to build up the body of Christ. Well, now it'd be nicer if it was to build up your body. Wouldn't that be nice? Everybody was to build you up. It's interesting, he didn't say that, did he? In other words, get your mind off yourself and start finding a need that you can meet other people's needs, and your need will get met. Become a servant. That's what God is preparing us for. Verse 3. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge. Here we go back to epinosis, that higher knowledge, where we are participating in. But until we attain the unity, well, it looks like our church and all churches have a long way to go on that one. That means oneness. I don't know how many we got in here this morning, but there's that many opinions. I'm just being blunt. But see, there's the one thing that brings unity, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we all agree on that point. Amen. That's the unity. That's the life. Hallelujah. That's what we can agree on. How you do your ministry between you and God, nobody else has the right to tell you how to do it. If you're a smart person, you will try and get people's opinion that you trust and that have been farther down the road in the area that you're going. You'd be very smart to ask older ones in the Lord that have been farther in that ministry area than you have. That is good. But nobody has the right to tell you. That's God's job. And I'm glad of that. How many of you would like to be in God's position? Well, there's some, obviously we've all got some people we'd like to tell them what they could do and couldn't do and where they can go. That's God's job. I don't want it. But He has a reason for this. He's wanting you to become full of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. Now, the word measure there means capacity. How large a capacity do you have to do God's will? And can you reach the end of it? I don't believe we can. I believe God is so big in us and what He wants us to be and do that there's a bigger capacity than you and I can fill in a lifetime. But He wants us to be mature and growing into that. Verse 14, so that we are no longer to be children. That word children there is nepios. That means an infant. A baby. God don't want babies to stay babies. If you have a baby and it's still a baby at 5 years old, you got a problem. 10 years old, it's a bigger problem. See? And people that just go and sit in church and do nothing stay babies. You got to feed yourself. You got to exercise. You got to get busy. You got to do something in the body of Christ. Some a lot of people think you got to be in fivefold ministry to do what God wants you to do. There's very few people that are actually God called to the fivefold ministry. And when you're there, that's not what you want because you're not there for yourself. You're there for others, what God is doing through you.
Amen.
Don't ever seek ministry. Seek Jesus. You'll get more ministry than you can do. Find a need and meet that need. Do it. And don't tell nobody about it.
Amen.
Keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
You know what God thinks of people that blow their own horn? It's just a bunch of hot air. He says, it's okay if other people blow your horn, that's fine. But you don't blow it. The Lord brought this back to my memory. I got to share it. When I was out there at that rest home that time, and people were telling me how great that song and how good I did and all that kind of stuff. Because there was an anointing on me. And they at the rest home, they don't know how to do anything but to tell you and thank you. And that's okay. See, they're not the problem. It's in me that the problem raises.
Amen.
And I one day I said, God, how do I handle this? I don't want to get a big head. I don't want pride. I can't. I watch what that does to Christians, and I don't want no part of it. He said, you don't offend the people. When they say something, you say thank you. And when you say that in your heart, you're giving it to me instantly. That's how you handle getting a big head if somebody pats you on the back for what you do. You don't let your mind ever think of it again. You never let your mind think of it again. It's given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can handle it. Because it's His anointing that was doing it anyhow. Why thank me? Thank Him. He's the one that did it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's how you handle pride, and when people pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. Well, we're good in the Lord. We got a good spirit. You know, praise God for that. But in your flesh, you ain't that good. You may have talent, and God bless you if you do. Use it for the Lord. Let God anoint that talent and be a blessing to people. But don't take that patting on your back for yourself. Don't do that. Get you spiritually in trouble. So we are no longer children, tossed back and forth by waves and carried about with every wind of teaching, by trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes. We are living in the last days, brother and sister. And there's so much deception going on out there right now. You got to know the Word of God for your own self, or you can get deceived. I don't mean you've got to understand the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God in you. But you know by your spirit whether it's right or not. I live by that inward witness. Basically everything that somebody tells me that I haven't heard before, I will measure that by this right here. Some of it I put up on a shelf, Lord, you'll give me the understanding when I get there, and some of it I just forget and get rid of it right then. But you know in your spirit what to do. You've got a born-again spirit, and if you do, and that's why you're here, then you know how to handle and how to grow up. God is trying to get you and me to grow up and quit acting like babies. How many like changing diapers? Somebody raised their hand back there. And that's okay. God bless them. They love babies. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it can get messy. What I'm saying is, it gets kind of tiresome changing adults, spiritual adults, diapers. Oh, shut up, John. Well, how does God feel about it? You know, maybe, if they need to take care of a baby, they can't take care of themselves. But you don't want to have to change diapers at 10 years old. Verse 14, we read that. Got to read it again. That we're no longer be children, tossed back and forth. The reason a young child, gets tossed back and forth because, see, they're just having input into their minds. Now, they have to get older and have some experience before they know how to handle some of the input. So a child is going to be tossed back and forth. You tell them one thing, another adult tells them this. Well, which one's true? They get tossed back and forth. And we see that in the natural. Well, we see it in the spiritual. And that's okay at a certain age. But after 20 years and you're still getting tossed back and forth, means you ain't reading the Word of God. Number 15, but practicing the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into Christ who is the head. Amen. Amen. The word grow up means to increase that which lives or your individual spiritual life. Grow up spiritually, your individual spiritual life. How many of us know that if every one of us in here grows up spiritually, the corporate body will grow up spiritually? See, that's how the body grows, is each one as individual growing and maturing as they should. But we have to practice the truth. It didn't say, go tell somebody else the truth. It said practicing the truth in love. Because sometimes when you're practicing what you believe is right by the Word of God, you can offend a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful how we do it and that we walk in love while we do it. I don't think I'm the only one in this building that has said something to somebody and I thought it was in love, but it blew them away.
It's true.
I thought I was doing it in love, and the Lord says, no, you weren't. You was doing it your way.
Amen.
How many know it's hard to treat somebody with love when you're carrying attitude?
Yeah.
Or somebody has said something and you're mad. Now you got to go tell somebody else something that has nothing to do with this over here, but you're going to use the tone of voice as though you're still mad when you're talking to somebody that has no idea what you're talking about. Done it? I've had people look at me. They don't say anything, but they just look. What is your problem? See, I'm giving them something that I shouldn't be giving them. And that's not God's love. When God talks to you with a tone of voice, it's because you're the one that needs it. It's not because somebody else has made him mad. How many know that God can get a tone of voice with you? In other words, he takes you to the woodshed and he knows how to use the stick. good. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Now this is good. Just one verse on this one. 1 Timothy 2, 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The epinosis, the higher knowledge, spiritual knowledge. He wants everybody saved and he wants everyone to grow up. Basically, that's what Paul's saying to Timothy here. See, Timothy was the pastor of the Ephesian church, and it was the largest church. It was a huge church. And Timothy was having problems with people. And he was probably younger than most of them. But God had put him in that position. God anointed Timothy to be a pastor. And Paul was encouraging him. But he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of God. You know, there has to be a balance, in a sense, of getting people saved and getting them grown up. You don't get a baby into the world and then, well, it's born, so now we can go off and leave it and we can go get and make another one. That's kind of stupid. You got to take care of that baby. You got to feed it, change it, help it, take care of it until it can be on its own. Then you move on and you can do more than one at a time. It just, God has a way of handling us. He wants us to grow up in the knowledge of the truth. He wants us to participate. There's two kinds of participation. One is hearing it. The other is doing it. See, in the Old Testament, the word hear, if you look it up in the Hebrew, the word hear means to hear it and do it. In God's mind, if you just listen to it, you haven't heard it yet. Because when you hear it, you're going to do it. And I don't think he's changed. He still means the same thing today. When we hear the Word of God and actually hear it, we'll do it. And we only really know what we know and measure it by what you do. You can tell me how much schooling you got. You can tell me how many times you've read the Bible. But if you're still doing nothing for Jesus, all that knowledge means nothing. There's a doing, see? And that's what Paul is talking to Timothy here by the Holy Spirit. He says that everyone be saved, but everyone come to the knowledge or the spiritual maturity that the truth will cause you to do. She says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, I hear that quoted a lot, but I don't see most people that quote it to me aren't doing it. You can't be free if you don't do the truth. Is that too hard? The only reason it's too hard is because my flesh don't want to do the truth. My flesh wants to get away with whatever it can get away with. It don't like the truth unless it's its truth. How many of you have noticed this world system in the last 50 years has come out with the idea there is no such thing as truth? There's your truth, there's my truth, there's everybody's has their own truth, but there's no real truth. None of them really believe God. You can't say that and do the Word of God. You can't have both. Because there is only one truth. And I read the end of the book. He wins. And because we're on His side, we win. You don't win because of who you are. You win because of who He is. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. As long as you stay with Him, you'll be okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we did run out of time again. we're gonna close. Hallelujah. God is good. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus.
If there's a possibility that anyone's here and don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the altars are open. I would invite you to come up here and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you want prayer for being filled with the Holy Spirit, that is available. And if you need prayer for anything else, I'll be up here for a little while. But anyone want to get born again, please come up now. We'll get that taken care of, so that you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved. Know Him as your Savior. If you have any doubts, come on up. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we say thank You for a good day. Thank You for Your presence here, Lord. I just pray for each one of these precious people that You'll strengthen them, encourage, guide, protect. And Lord, that every one of us as individuals will stir up the hunger for Your word, for Your life, for Your what You've called us to do, that we do it without any shadow of a doubt. Because that's where You want us to be. You don't want us to be in any kind of ignorance, Lord. You want us to do Your will. And it's a very, You've made it so we can do it. We don't have to be in doubt. Pray Your blessing on these people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.